Well, tonight we have with us our brother Mark Walton from the Kimber Ecclesia, and he's to deliver an address, 25 minutes, that could save your life. And so I would urge you to listen to Brother Mark's words and look upon the screen as he asks him now to give us that address. 25 minutes, that could save your life.
Thank you, and good evening everyone, and thank you for coming out tonight. I need to be careful because the last time I did this talk, there was a house in the room who got his stopwatch out, and we had to change it from 20 minutes to 25 minutes, so we'll try and keep to the schedule. So, if I offered you, friends, a form of medication, a tablet that you could take each day of your life for a period of time, and I guarantee to you that this tablet would let you live forever, immortality, life eternal, disease-free, forever young, would you be interested? Secondly, could you afford what I have to offer? The world outside that we live in spends millions, probably billions, searching out ways to extend life, to retain those youthful looks, to prevent disease, and their ultimate goal, to extend life. So can I interest you this evening in what I have to offer? I work in sales, and normally in sales there's a basic procedure which takes place. And in sales, there's a number of points I go through. So firstly, there's a requirement for a product. Then there has to be a requirement or an interest for that product. And the person with the interest would probably normally go out and research it, check the products, ensure it does what they're looking for, what they want it to do. Does it tick all your boxes? Make sure there's nothing better out there. You'd do your research, wouldn't you? Go online. Market comparison websites. The fourth one we've got down there is, would you then check out the contract? Are there any hidden conditions, things that you need to know about? The dreaded small print, so you don't get caught out. And importantly, find out the price. What is this product going to cost you? And our final one is, you then have a decision. Are you going to purchase the product, or are you going to decline it? And the product tonight I want to introduce to you is everlasting life, and it's on offer from the great creator of heaven and earth, and it is that opportunity to live forever, as we said, immortality, life everlasting. And as I said, we will look at the offer and also the conditions surrounding everlasting life in more detail as we proceed this evening. So as we said, the product we have to offer is life eternal. So the point we put up on the board is, do you have a requirement or an interest in that product? Let me put it this way. Every one of us will suffer at some point in our lives. And suffering, friends, will either make or break us. And you can suffer with a purpose and a reason, or you can suffer without a purpose and without a reason. But either way, during your lifetime, you will suffer. And the great creator of heaven and earth offers life eternal if we follow his ways. The alternative, as we said, is to suffer without a reason and without a purpose. And the ultimate then is to die forever. And there's only one way to check out what we have to offer, and that is through God's Word, the Bible. This book on our laps is our manual. It's that set of instructions. It's a collection of books, as I'm sure you all well know, divided into two sections. We've got the Old Testament and we've got the New Testament. And we've got 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 in the New, giving us a total of 66 books within this one book. And all these books, friends, are the inspired Word of God, the great creator of heaven and earth. And we're now going to turn up to a number of Bible quotations, and some of them I'll put on the screen for you, and one or two others I'll ask you to turn with me, just to make sure you're all keeping up to wake and you're with me. So the first one popping on the screen for you, and it is, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable, as it says up there, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The next one is from the 2nd of Peter, chapter 1, verses 20 to 21. Again, it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in times of old, but by the will of man, but by the holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. What else does this book on our laps have to say? Well, if we go to the Old Testament, in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 21, it tells us that God has a plan to fill this earth with his glory. Now I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the book of Genesis. So the first book in the Old Testament, and we're going to go to that first chapter. And in Genesis chapter 1, it's where it tells us how God created the universe and the earth that we currently live on. And his immense work is outlined in chapter 1 in brief summaries. And it was carried out, as you probably know, in 6 days from the time that God said, "Let there be light." And on day 6, God made man in verse 16 of chapter 2. God tells Adam he can freely eat of any tree within the garden. But in verse 17 of chapter 2, he gives Adam one commandment. He says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of. For in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die." One commandment, friends. That's all God gave him. One commandment. Now in Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 to 23, we read that the great creator then makes woman from man. And in chapter 3, I'm sure it's a story you all know well, Adam and Eve rebel against God. And they rebel by breaking the only commandment that he'd given them. They ate of the fruit he asked them not to. They'd been given a choice, hadn't they, friends? And they made the wrong choice. And sin, death, and mortality now entered into the creation. And this was the consequence of their action. And we have all inherited that their mortality. Why? Because we're no different. We all sin and we all disobey our God, don't we? Just as they did. But it doesn't end there, friends, thank goodness, for our Heavenly Father is a merciful and an understanding one. And he wants to forgive us. He wants to care for us and he wants us to come back to him. And Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 23, again from the Old Testament, it says, "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die?" And who says this? It says, "Saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live." Ezekiel carries on. Again, in verse 32 of that chapter 18, he says, "For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live." So again, amazing words from the Bible, God's inspired book. Again, back in the New Testament, 2 Peter 3 verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us ward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And it was because of this love that we read the following in John 3 verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have that everlasting life that we spoke about." So our loving Heavenly Father now provides a way for us to come back, us mortals to come back to him. And according to the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, there's two ways in life. Matthew 7 verses 13 to 14 tell us that we have the broad way in verse 13, where it says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction." And it tells us, "Many there be that go therein." Verse 14 tells us, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life." And it carries on, it says, "Few there be that find it." The broad way, the easy way, do what you want. Live your life how you want to live it. And we spoke about that this morning, didn't we? And we see from the verse in the scriptures, God knew. He said, many will do that. Many people prefer that route. Because it says there, many there be that go therein. And as we said, that end result is death. That eternal sleep. But we looked in verse 14, didn't we? the narrow way. The narrow way which leadeth unto life. And but there's always a but, isn't there? He says, but few there be that find it. So God provides a way back to him. And it's a narrow way that leads to life eternal. And this narrow way, friends, is the gospel message of salvation. The good news that leads to God's kingdom upon this earth. As we saw earlier, that God does not want any of us to die, did he, from those verses that we looked at. He wants us to actually acknowledge our sin and turn our lives around and go in the opposite direction to what we were going. And what do we mean by that? Again, it comes down. Instead of doing those things of self, what I want to do, what you want to do, we've got to do the things that God wants to do. The thing, and not only have we got to do them, we've got to do them with love, friends. Not because we have to, not because we're forced or told to. We've got to do these things because they mean the most to us. Because you love the things of God and you want to serve him. You want to be like him and like his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in all that you do. And again, we looked at that perfect example this morning, didn't we, at the breaking of bread. And if we try to do these things, and we'll have our ups and our downs, but Ephesians 2, verses 7 to 8, again, give us that wonderful hope. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's the gift of God, our Heavenly Father, friends, to reward us with life eternal, if we try each day to do those things that please him. And we will, as we said, we'll have our ups and downs. We'll have our good days and our bad days. The important thing is, friends, is to keep trying. And you know as well, friends, if God makes a promise, he never ever breaks that promise. Look what he says in Titus. In Titus 1 and verse 2, it says, in the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Friends, young people, God cannot lie. He's made a promise of life eternal to those who try each day to live their lives as God has asked us to. So hopefully we've proved that life eternal is on offer. And our next point was to check out the contract a little bit, wasn't it? The conditions for this product. And yes, there are conditions. Our Heavenly Father is not going to give life eternal to everyone and anyone, is he? You couldn't imagine, could you, some of the people who, through history, are in the world today, living forever. What an awful place that would be. What a nightmare. And don't forget, we have to remember that God is the potter, isn't he? He's the great creator. He's the one that made everything. And he could have made his robots, couldn't he, friends, do exactly what he wanted us to do. But he didn't. He gave us a choice. And he wants us to obey him in love. And with respect, not out of necessity. And it's for all that he has done for us. So, what the great creator did, as we move on, he chose an individual family. A family who he was going to make a great nation. And through this person and this family, the nation of Israel was going to be born. And through this family, the nation of Israel, all families of the earth, were going to be blessed. And we see that, again, we go back to the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 12 and verses 12 to 13. It outlines these promises to Abraham. And he would instruct his son Isaac. And Isaac would instruct Jacob, and God was going to bless them, and he's going to make them a great nation. He says, doesn't he, I'll make thee a great nation. Here we have that national promise. He says, I will bless thee, make thy name great. We get that personal promise. In verse 3 he says, bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And here we have a protection from the great creator. And then he says, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And again, here we have a family promise, an international promise to all families of the earth that put their trust in the God of Abraham. Our Heavenly Father also gives us laws which are found in the Old Testament, particularly in the book of Leviticus. Unfortunately, man made a right mess and the laws that God gave him to serve them. So our Heavenly Father in his wisdom, as we said, had another plan. And he sends his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour. And that's what we call the Word made flesh. He sent Jesus who was going to carry out all these commandments and he's going to live this life to the full with love and respect to his Father. And as we know, Jesus Christ crushed All the temptations in his life that challenged him, all those things that challenged him to put self first, he overcame them. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only human in creation who has managed to please our Heavenly Father in every way. He would not, and he did not commit any sin. Therefore, friends, he did not deserve to die, but he did die. But our Heavenly Father raised him to life eternal 3 days later, just as he promised him. And when Adam and Eve sinned back in Genesis chapter 3, God provided coats of skins from animals which had to be sacrificed, killed, to cover that sin. The principle was, it was the man and the woman, not the animals, who deserved to die. And here we see our Heavenly Father establishing a principle, the shedding of blood, to show forgiveness. And Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 13, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So in the New Testament, we see the perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom our sins can be covered or forgiven. And the forgiveness of sins, as we mentioned this morning, is part of baptism. And baptism involves the confession of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a visible way, it unites us with his death. As we said, in baptism, there is that brief burial when we go under the water, that complete immersion. And it shows that symbolic death to our old way of life that was previously under the power of sin, the power of self. And the believer rises up from those waters, washed and clean from their sins, to begin that new journey in life towards the kingdom in Jesus Christ. And when we sin after baptism, which unfortunately we all will, we then have to go to our Heavenly Father through prayer, through the Lord Jesus Christ, to seek forgiveness for those sins and help us again to try and avoid the mistakes and the failures that we will make in the future. And we need to follow that example and that character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, if you want to turn there, but I'm going to put them up in a different format on the board, but Galatians chapter 5 in the New Testament, and we're going to look at verses 19 to 21 first of all. And you're going to see that in the tree that I've put up, depicted up there on the left-hand side. And Galatians tells us the works of the flesh are manifest, and that word means shown. Which are these? It says adultery. It says fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which, and this is the word speaking to us again, I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then verses 22 to 26 of Galatians shows us the character that we should be trying to achieve. We look to the fruits of the Spirit, as we put up on the screen there. And the fruit of the Spirit, it tells us, is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And it says, against such there is no law. And it carries on, they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. And again, we mentioned that this morning, didn't we? And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Corinthians carries on, and it tells us, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, it tells us to do all to the glory of God. It's a really important lesson. So whatever we're doing in life, the question to ask ourselves, and my mum used to say this to me all the time, are you pleasing our Heavenly Father? And I often went out of the house, and I definitely wasn't going to be pleasing our Heavenly Father. But that's the question that we need to ask ourselves. And that's the character that we have to follow, friends. Whatever we do to the glory of our Heavenly Father. The fifth thing that we mentioned was to consider on our list was the price. What is this going to cost you, friends? Well, again, Old Testament and Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1, it says, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And it says, he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. There is no monetary price for this gift We said earlier, it's a gift from God. And what is required from us, friends, what's going to cost you is your time. It's your change of lifestyle. Giving up the things that we want to do the things of our Heavenly Father. Those things of self, to do the things of God. And again, doing all to the glory of God by putting our Heavenly Father first. Because we want to, not because we have to, not because we think, oh, if I do all these things, I'll get eternal life, because that's not going to work out, friends. It's got to be because we deep down in our hearts, these are the things that we want to do. We've got to develop that character, like the one of our Heavenly Father, and like the one of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose example we follow. So if you can think back to when we started, we had our sixth item was decision time. So what do you think? What are you going to do? Is it the broad way or is it that narrow way? Again, it's simple. Is it life or is it death? And while you consider that, another tact used in sales is not to focus on the cost. So when we're trying to persuade somebody that we've got the best product, it's not all about the money, friends. It's not about the cost. What are the benefits and the positives that this product will have to enhance your life? And let's see how we can take a worldly thing and apply that to the Word of God. So when you think all that God has done for us, do you realise, friends, that you haven't come to a knowledge of God by your own choice? The great Creator of heaven and earth has actually called you Himself. Hopefully, with your Bible still open, let's have a little look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 3-7 about this point that you've not chosen to know about God. God's actually called you. And in verse 3 it said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According," this is verse 4, "as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy," which means separate, "without blame, before him in love." Verse 5, "having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." And verse 7, "in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according," again, "to those riches of grace." The great Creator of heaven and earth chose us, friends, before he started the creation of this world. Predestinated has that meaning to predetermine. So what we see is that God predetermines who he will call to be his sons and his daughters for eternity. But just because he's called, it's not guaranteed. It's then determined upon our actions during our lifetime. Our lifetime is this short probationary period that we have. And friends, throughout the generations of time since creation, our Heavenly Father has been calling that special kind of person to come out of this world, to give up the pleasures of this life, so to speak, and to serve the one true living God with love. Unfortunately, friends, out of each generation, only a remnant or a small number have accepted this call. And we can get to many examples in Scripture where we could look at that. So I'll pop a few things upon the board for you. The current population of the world is the largest, I reckon, it's ever been, estimated at around about 7.6 billion. Might have gone up since I last looked at it, but have you ever considered, friends, how many of those actually have the truth or have been called to it? The vast majority of faiths, unfortunately, when you break down the commandments that God asks us to keep, do not uphold the commandments laid down by the God that we worship in the Bible. So if they don't carry out his commandments he's asked them to, how can they be serving the great Creator in the right way? The Christadelphians strive to uphold all the commandments of God's word, the Bible. So let's consider that world population of over 7 billion as a percentage of those who obey God's word, as detailed in the book, the Bible. The Christadelphians, as a community, is currently estimated at about 60,000 to 70,000, I think, worldwide. I'm not the best at maths, as John Bennett will probably tell you from my son who he taught as well. But let's round that to 100,000. And I would not want to be presumptuous and say the Christadelphians are the only religious community to have the truth. I'm not saying that at all, friends. But let's look at the facts of who those communities are who actually uphold those ways. So let's add another 200,000 to that total. of people that worship God in his commandments. And again, these are just my thoughts. And this gives us a figure of 300,000, doesn't it? What's 300,000 as a percentage of 7 billion? And a billion, for those who can't remember and I had to look it up, is 1,000 million. So 300,000 as a percentage of 7 billion is 0.0004%. 0.004% of the current world's population have heeded the call of the gospel message of salvation as per the instructions of the Word of God from the Bible. And as I said, I'm not being dogmatic about these. These are just my thoughts. I'm just trying to give you a little example. We could have put more numbers in there. We could have put less numbers in there. Just little things to try and trigger you to think about these things. And again, friends, none of us know the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And believe me, in that great day of judgment, we will all need it. But I think that simple calculation shows that the vast majority have no interest in serving the great Creator in the way that he's requested in his book, the Bible. The people of Dudley Queen's Cross were not queuing around the block tonight, were they, to listen to 25 minutes that could save your life. Might be that they've heard about the speaker. And it's the same throughout the Bible. Only a remnant were ever saved, friends. Think about Noah, the classic example. Only 8 people were saved from the population of the world at that time. And you can look at some quite interesting things in there where people have estimated how many people on the earth. It goes from 4 million to 4 billion. A lot of people. They lived exceptionally long lifetimes in that time. But only 8 people were actually saved. 8 people at that time were prepared to turn their lives around and serve God and not self. However, as we've said, in each of us here tonight, the great Creator can see something within all of us that he can work with. And by believing in the mercy of God and setting out to obey his commandments, baptism, friends, is that first decisive step. Baptism is the sign that we've understood the truth, that revelation of God's will for us. It opens out before us a life with new prospects, a new way of regarding our own life. It's a new path to tread in an uncertain and very troubled world. And it will give you a new sense of strength to make those important decisions of life, a new sense of peace with God, who will reconcile us to himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. For when we believe the gospel, our status is changed, friends. We're no longer alienated from our God by our sins, but we become, as we saw earlier, his sons and his daughters, and we become precious in his sight, and we become heirs of his kingdom that Jesus will establish on this earth when he returns. And it's a wonderful opportunity each of us here this night have been given out of the billions of people upon the planet this day. And that tablet we spoke about when we started, hopefully about 25 minutes ago, which you could take each day, which could give you life eternal, it's the Bible on your laps, friends. This is our spiritual food that we need to partake of each and every day of our lives to understand God's plan and purpose and what he requires of us, so then we can put all those things into our everyday life. And to think that the great Creator of heaven and earth has called you and me to be part of his kingdom for eternity. And as we saw earlier, when this world will be filled with the glory of God and not the glory of man. And the final question to you tonight is, will you let the Lord Jesus Christ into your life? We ask you to seriously consider this invitation of life and death, and not to waste the wonderful opportunity that we've each been given. Thank you for listening.